All right, welcome to the show. Today, I am breaking down the Warriors' win over the Timberwolves, but I wanted to give you a heads up about tomorrow's show. Instead of a recap of tonight's game against the Suns, I will have a conversation with Chad Ford, the original NBA draft guru who you may remember from his days with ESPN. We'll talk about some of the top prospects in the 2021 draft and guys that the Warriors could take with this top three protected pick from Minnesota. So subscribe to Locked On Warriors wherever you get podcasts to get that conversation and for daily content on the Warriors all season long.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
A Thursday edition of Locked On Warriors. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Bay Area News Group, talking about the Warriors' 123-111 win over the Timberwolves Wednesday night. This was a night in which Steph Curry's supporting cast bought him enough time to make the game's decisive push. Curry didn't score his first points of the game until he pushed a floater in with 9 seconds left in the first half. Before that, he missed his first, I believe, 7 shots from the field. He then unloaded 12 points in the third quarter using the dribble moves, the step backs, those devastating jumpers, all the things that we know Steph Curry to do. And despite his slow start, the Warriors took a 7-point lead into halftime, in large part due to Kelly Oubre and James Wiseman combining for 30 points in the first half, and also because they were playing a Timberwolves team that was without their two best players, Karl-Anthony Towns, D'Angelo Russell. And so Curry finished with a respectable stat line, 16 points, but only made 35% of his shots. The Warriors overall shot almost 53% overall. Now, Curry, who entered the night the league's fourth leading scorer, had carried Golden State for so much of this season. But this was a game in which Steph's teammates carried him. And we have so rarely seen that this year. I remember having a conversation with another person who covers the Warriors saying, this is going to be kind of the story every game, right? Is, did Steph Curry get enough help tonight or did he not get enough help tonight? Because he can, as much as you'd like to say he could go out and score 30 points a game, he can't. Sometimes he does just score 16 points. It's going to happen. But those were the games that I assumed that the Warriors would just lose, right? Steph Curry shoots 35%, 16 points. Just assume they lose that game. Now, again, they were playing Minnesota. They're a really bad team. Really, really bad team. So that was helpful. But it was also helpful that Kelly Oubre had maybe his best game of his, well, definitely his best game of his season. And James Wiseman not going in his second game off the bench. Now, Kelly Oubre, I want to talk about more specifically because he was coming off of being mentioned in trade rumors. A lot of trade speculation going on with Kelly Oubre. And credit Steve Kerr, because the one thing that he doesn't shy away from is recognizing that these trade rumors are out there, recognizing that these players, like Kelly Oubre, who's 25, these guys who are millennials are so much on social media that they, of course, see it. This is not the generation of players who say, you know what, I don't read anything, I don't see anything, that's all just speculation, that's all just media-driven, all this stuff. Any player who says that right now is lying. I promise. Any player who says that right now is lying. They are all on social media. Of course they are. Of course they are. And so if they are, of course they see these things because they follow the same people that you and I follow. They follow Woj. They follow Shams. They follow all the Bleacher Reports and the ESPNs and all that stuff that are retweeting things. They see it. And if they don't see it right away, they're getting texted these things. Hey, man, any truth to this? Hey, what's up with this? Of course they are. And so again, you credit Steve Kerr. He recognizes that and he pulls Kelly Oubre aside like he has several times and said, you know what? Here's the deal. This is what's really happening. Last year it happened. With D'Angelo Russell, it was happening all year long, and they had conversations about it. And you know what? D'Angelo Russell never thought that he was staying in Golden State long term, for sure. He thought that there was a chance. There was this idea out there last season that the Warriors were definitely trading D'Angelo Russell at the trade deadline. I think the right deal came along at the right time, and they got the draft pick compensation that they wanted, and they got the player that they wanted, Andrew Wiggins, who made sense for them. But it wasn't as if they were aggressively shopping D'Lo. That is not what was happening last year. And so I think the same thing is happening now with Oubre. It doesn't look like it's the right fit. But they are not aggressively shopping Oubre right now either. At least from the people who I talk to, I don't think that they are. But the Pelicans called. This is what Shams reported in The Athletic. The Pelicans called, asked about Kelly Oubre. They had a brief conversation about it. According to Steve Kerr, they never made an offer. The Pelicans never made an offer for Kelly Oubre, and then they moved on. This is the NBA, people. GMs call other GMs about certain players. Hey, what's going on with him? Are you happy with Kelly Oubre? Are you happy with Lonzo Ball? Are you happy with JJ? What's going on? You just have a conversation. And so often those things get picked up, and that's what Steve Kerr basically said, and I'll quote him. A team called us and asked about Kelly. Didn't even make an offer. Next thing you know, it's online. It's unfortunate. It is. But it's the way it works. And Steve Kerr recognizes that. He pulls Kelly Oubre aside, says, hey, this is what's going on. Just tells him. So Oubre responded, like I said, with his best game of the season. Give him credit. He did get off to a bad start, picked up two fouls in the first minute of the game. That was not great. Looked like he was going to completely implode. But, you know, he's a guy who reaches, who's aggressive, right? And so it kind of happened. Re-entered the game. He made his first seven shot attempts. Finished with 20 points on 7 of 9 shooting, 2 of 3 from three-point range. Added 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, all in 24 minutes. And Oubre's 16-point second quarter is what Kerr credited with getting the Warriors going offensively. The Warriors in this game, by the way, assisted on 32 of their 45 made field goals. The only time they had a better margin than that was against Sacramento. I think they had a season high from the league of 41 assists against the Kings earlier in the year. So a really good offensive game from them. Again, they're playing a Timberwolves team that is not good at all, but they played well. And if you're the Warriors, now you've strung together two straight wins after, you know, two straight losses. You're heading to Phoenix tonight as I record this here on a Thursday morning. And you got a chance now to win three in a row for the first time all season. So if you could get contributions like that from Andrew Wiggins and James Wiseman and Kelly Oubre and Draymond Green and all these guys, and if Steph Curry has a better night than this, maybe they could put together those three straight wins. But to me, that was the takeaway, is the fact that that supporting cast stepped up on a night where they had to. You can only play the team that's in front of you. The team that was in front of them was not very good, but they did what they needed to do to get the win. I want to talk about the battle between the top picks, James Wiseman and Anthony Edwards. That, to me, was the most compelling part of the game. We'll do that next, but first, let's talk about Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of vehicle makes and models, it can be impossible to stock all the parts you need for your car, especially now while you might not be able to visit a traditional store. So do it easily online instead at rockauto.com. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto body parts and from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliable, though, without the markup that you find at chain stores or even worse, car dealerships. So go to RockAuto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, then write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcasts. It is time for our stat of the game, and today's stat of the game. Today's number is 50, and that's how many points Anthony Edwards and James Wiseman combined for in that game. Anthony Edwards, top pick overall. The Timberwolves took him over James Wiseman. Now, from what you hear, the Timberwolves were never all that interested in James Wiseman. They view Karl Anthony Towns as their center, not their power forward. They didn't want to pair two bigs together in that front court. We could agree or disagree. I actually want to have that conversation here in a little bit. But they ended up taking Anthony Edwards, who I really liked. I really liked Anthony Edwards. If you've been a longtime listener, relatively, of this show, you know that I thought Anthony Edwards was the best fit for the Warriors. And last night, and nothing against James Wiseman, I just really liked Anthony Edwards. And last night, Anthony Edwards looked very much the player that the Warriors could have used. This is before Kelly Oubre's, or really in the midst of Kelly Oubre's 16-point outburst in the second quarter, before it was that Steph Curry got going in that third quarter. Anthony Edwards was doing everything for Minnesota. Everything for them. The Warriors opened up an early 9-point lead, I believe, in the first quarter. Got out to a double-digit lead in the second quarter. But Anthony Edwards comes off the bench for Minnesota and is doing everything, the driving, the kicking. He's got 15 points in the first half. He's getting guys involved. He's narrowed the lead there to 5 points. He's got the Timberwolves back in the game in what would be a bad loss for this Warriors team. This would be, have you two good wins. Had you lost these games, either one of them would have been a really bad loss against a team without their two best players. But Anthony Edwards looked the part of the player that they were hoping they got with the number one overall pick. Absolutely. Meanwhile, on the other side, James Wiseman is making 3 three-pointers in the first half, completely going off. He's rebounding, he's running the floor, he's doing all these things. What was most impressive to me about James Wiseman was defensively much better. Best game he's had of his career so far. The verticality is something that the coaches talked about after the game. The fact that he wasn't leaving his feet, chasing blocks, swiping down on arms, trying to swat, you know, shots away. Not fouling. He picked up 3 fouls in the game, which is not bad for him. He's a plus 12, plus minus. 25 points on 9 of 14 shooting, 6 rebounds, 2 blocks. Still had 4 turnovers in the game. You'd like to see that get cleaned up. Some of those points, in those 25 points, a lot of that was in garbage time. I thought Anthony Edwards' 15 points in the second quarter were probably more impactful than any of the 15 points, any of the points that James Wiseman really scored, other than in that first kind of stretch where he was making 3-pointers. Made 2 off of the right wing, 1 in the corner. You'd like to see him get more involved there. If you run a little bit more side pick and roll for the Warriors, you could do that. You could do that. What they did last night for Wiseman to set up those threes was he had Andrew Wiggins setting screens for him. He was coming off pin downs there. It's not bad. You get him a little bit more involved. Wiseman says he likes the corner more than anywhere else on the floor. It makes sense. It's the short corner. That's a way where you could start getting him involved. He had not made, up until last night, a 3-pointer for 8 straight games. And then he got involved with 3 of 3 from beyond the arc last night. But to go back to that debate, Wiseman versus Anthony Edwards. Now, like I said, I was an Anthony Edwards guy. I wasn't really a James Wiseman guy going into the draft. I've gotten a lot of flack for that. I've been told that I called him Zaza Pachulia on defense, JaVale McGee on offense. I never said that that's what he was. I said that that was the role that he would be asked to play. And I haven't been wrong. The 3-pointers notwithstanding, the Warriors are trying to get him to do that less. Last night, they let him go off a little bit, you know, rewarded him for coming off the bench and all these things. But for the most part, that's what they want him to be. Make no mistake about it. He is better than JaVale McGee. He is better than Zaza Pachulia. Maybe not right now. He's not as consistent as those guys, but he will be better than those. The talent is unlike any of those guys, obviously. That's essentially the role that they want him to play. And in fact, Zaza Pachulia is who taught James Wiseman, who had a very key conversation with Wiseman on Tuesday about staying vertical. Hey, you're 7'1". You don't have to leave your feet. That's what Zaza told Wiseman. Zaza understands that because he knows the role that Wiseman needs to play as a guy who drops back in coverage and just defends the rim. So I haven't been off on that. But without going down that road of defending myself too much, you know, I had questions about James Wiseman's ball skills, his court awareness, and all those things. And I think that stuff is bearing out, but he's 19. You don't want to hold him to too much of a standard. I have my questions about it. He still turns the ball over a lot, but, you know, you can clean that kind of stuff up. But like Edwards, both of them have had their real high highs so far in their rookie years. Really high highs, relatively low lows. Sometimes Anthony Edwards just looks like a Dion Waiters out there, just a guy who is shooting poor shot choices. Even in this game, Anthony Edwards, some bad shot choices. He went 9 for 19 overall, not a bad percentage. 5 of 8 from three-point range, a good percentage. I kind of like both of these guys. I think Anthony Edwards is going to be a good player for Minnesota. I think James Wiseman is going to be a really good player for Golden State. And considering what they need, considering what both of those teams need, I think it was probably the right choice by both teams. And throw LaMelo Ball in there with Charlotte, by the way. Charlotte wanted to be a playmaking team, a passing team. They lead the league in passes made per game and assists, and that's a lot because of what LaMelo brings them. So, you know, what was a draft that was sort of ridiculed and things like that, I think the top three picks ended up in their best possible situations. Anthony Edwards, a big guy who can come off the bench for this team right now. Eventually, you could pair him. If it works out for him, he could be a good defender, better than it is that D'Angelo Russell is. And you've got a nice little scoring 1-2 punch there in the backcourt. I think that works. If you really believe Karl Anthony Towns is your center of the future, it works. And for the Warriors, you got your center of the future. And it was key to me that after the game, Steve Kerr praised James Wiseman for this performance and said, look, Kevon Looney is the starting center right now, but James Wiseman is the starting center long term, and he will start again this season. He will. Kevon Looney played 12 minutes tonight, Wednesday night. James Wiseman played 24. Kevon Looney started the game. James Wiseman will be back in the starting unit at some point. We don't know when that will be. But the Warriors needed to get two wins. Kevon Looney was playing better. James Wiseman seemed a little overwhelmed. And I think this helped. And this is the delicate dance that the Warriors coaching staff needs to do with James Wiseman's development. He will start again. We don't know when it'll be, but it could be as soon as tonight against Phoenix. We'll see. I want to talk about what it is that the Warriors are planning to do with the G League. The bubble starts early next month. But first, let's talk about betonline.ag. The Super Bowl is a couple of weeks away, and it is the sports betting event of the year. There's only one place that has you covered, one place I trust. It's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. Use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. The NBA season is in full swing. If you want to bet on those games, go for it. They've got over-unders. They've got money lines. They've got the lines that you could bet on. If you listen to podcasts like this and other Locked On Network podcasts, you probably know more than the average fan. So you could put your money where your mouth is, maybe make some money. The Super Bowl, like I said, is around the corner. Not only can you bet on the winner between the Chiefs and the Buccaneers, but you could do prop bets, all these things. Get a group together online. Send this promo code to all your buddies, Locked On. Get everybody involved. Get a pool going. Do whatever it is that you want to do to have fun and celebrate the Super Bowl. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code Locked On to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Also, let's talk about Built Bar. It's a new year, and while I'm not really a resolution guy, I do like to lock in my diet at the start of each year, especially after what I ate during the holidays. And I like convenience, right? I don't want to worry about what it is that I'm eating. The easiest way to go off your diet is to not plan ahead. That's what makes Built Bars so perfect. I could just order a box of them. I keep them in the kitchen. They satisfy my hunger while I'm busy at work. They taste great. They work perfectly with my low-carb, low-sugar diet. And with 18 amazing flavors like salted caramel, lemon, almond cheesecake, and peanut butter brownies, Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. They're soft. They're easy to chew. They taste like a candy bar. They're a better tasting than any protein bar I've ever had. And trust me, I have tried them all. Built Bar is a great option for health-conscious men and women. Maybe you're trying to lose weight. Maybe you're like me and you just want to maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. That's where Built Bars come in. They are low calorie, they're low sugar, they're high protein, they're high fiber. Great if you're starting a keto diet in 2021. And like I said, they taste awesome. So go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off on your next order. Again, use that promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. On the Rejecting the Screen podcast, hosts Adam Stanko and Noah Kozlov are honoring Kobe's life and career with a two-part special this week. Part two is up today with more stories about Kobe's intense competitive drive, his feud with Shaquille O'Neal, and the love he had for his teammates. Subscribe to Rejecting the Screen wherever you get podcasts. It is time for our Twitter question of the game. This one comes from Shay's Takes, who writes in, when does this bubble begin? I only ask because who is going to fill out our bench during that time? The NBA G League bubble is starting on February 10th. It runs from February 10th to March 6th. So what this is you've got 18 G League teams, including the Santa Cruz Warriors, going to the Walt Disney World, Wide World of Sports complex, where it was that the NBA held their postseason bubble over the summer. You've got them now completing their season in that same bubble. So the Warriors are sending Alan Smaljic, Jordan Poole, and Nico Mannion into that bubble. Noticeably, Juan Toscano-Anderson not part of that group. They want to at least keep him on that bench. So the plan is for those three, Smiley, Poole, Mannion, those guys are going to be in that G League bubble for the full extent, from February 10th to March 6th. That's a lot of games. That's basically the second half of the first part of the schedule, right? So the Warriors are going to be without some of their depth pieces. Now, it's not as much depth as it might look. It's not really three players, right? Smaljic hasn't played for the Warriors, and he wouldn't have played had he even been healthy. Nico Mannion is on a two-way contract, so his time what he could do for the Warriors right now is limited anyway. And Jordan Poole has been a part of the rotation, but kind of a token part of that rotation I think they'll just give those minutes to Michael Mulder and maybe give a few more minutes to guys like Kent Bazemore and Brad Wanamaker. So that's going to be the depth. Their depth isn't going to take that much of a hit. The problem is if there were an injury. And right now the Warriors have been, I don't know, you could say they've been fortunate because they haven't had the nagging injuries. They, of course, lost Klay Thompson and Marquese Chriss to season-ending injuries. Marquese Chriss, not necessarily season-ending. We'll see if he comes back in the second half, but long-term injury for him. So, yeah, that was a tough blow, but they have avoided mostly, you know, the only guy that they've lost for, like, one game is Eric Paschal, and that was just because of a weird protocol mix-up. So they've mostly avoided sort of the day-to-day wear and tear. Andrew Wiggins took a tough fall Wednesday night. You worry about him. Is he going to need a break at some point with the physical toll that's been taken on him? But he's 25. He's a physical specimen. You'd assume that he could probably get through what it is that he is going through right now. He hasn't been banged up. He's been questionable on a few injury reports, but not banged up to the point of not playing. It's been a game-day decision, you know, for a couple of these games. So I would worry about the depth there when it comes to injuries. Can you stay as lucky, I suppose, as you've been so far? So I'd be a little bit worried about that. But also, the Warriors go 11 deep. They don't have to play 11 guys. A lot of teams in the NBA play 9. So, you know, if Andrew Wiggins misses a game, or if, you know, Kent Bazemore or Brad Wanamaker, if somebody misses a game, you just shorten the rotation. I think that would be the idea here. But it's also telling that they're not sending Juan Toscano-Anderson. I think there's two reasons for that. Juan is maybe their most versatile, you know, fringe rotation guy. He could play both forward spots. He could do NBA things, right? He could fill minutes. He's not going to be a negative on the team for you. And also, there's not much for a guy like him to get out of a G League experience. He kind of is what he is. Jordan Poole, you still hope that he can develop. He came back last year after his G League stint, had his best stretch of the season. You hope he could sort of recreate that in the second half of the season. Nico Mannion, he needs as much time developing as possible. He hasn't played 30 minutes. He hasn't played real minutes in a basketball game since college. It's been almost a year, more than a year. And so you want to get him some key developmental minutes in the G League, and by the time he comes back, you're not going to have to worry about those two-day limits anymore, right? He's just going to be able to play the rest of the season, presumably, straight through. For a guy like Alan Smaylagic, there's not much he can do at the NBA level right now. There's not many minutes that will be allotted to him at the NBA level right now, so he might as well just stay in the G League, not only for this bubble, but just for a while. And I don't know what the G League's plans are after this bubble. It'll probably just be over. Right, I don't know if he'll be able to go to Santa Cruz and work out with the team, even though there might not be a season happening. I don't know what the plans are for that, but he's just very far away from contributing at the NBA level right now. So that's the plan for the Warriors, and I don't think that the rotation will take too much of a hit. If it does become an issue where you're dealing with multiple injuries at once, you've got the DPE. You could do something if you really have to. Break the glass in case of an emergency. You've had the disabled player exception down the line if you need it. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, say nice things about the show. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email them to me at wgoldberg@bayareanewsgroup.com. Thank you for listening. Stay safe. And I'll see you here tomorrow. We're not going to do a recap of the Phoenix game tonight unless something crazy happens. Instead, I got a treat for you. We're going to talk to Chad Ford. That's right, the original big board NBA draft guru. We're going to talk to Chad Ford tomorrow. He's got a podcast here with the Locked On Podcast Network. I had a conversation with him earlier this week about the draft and some of the players that the Warriors could take if they indeed get this top three pick coming over from Minnesota. So look forward to that Friday morning. Really excited about that one. Again, thanks for listening.